Dennis, what's your go with trivia, with Trivia Nights?
Oh, Riley, there. This feels like... Have you seen John Wick?
No, I saw... I was like, okay, I've definitely seen some of John Wick. Do you know why I've seen a bit of John Wick? Because I did that thing, you know, when you're on a plane and you start watching the
someone
film.
In front of you was watching it.
You start watching the film, but that you can on the screen that you can see between the two screens in front of you.
Yeah.
So I watched
TikTok of John Wick.
I watched Keanu Reeves beat up some people or something, and apparently someone stole his dog or something. I don't know. I don't know too much about John Wick, but I'm familiar with
it. It's a very good movie. I would highly recommend it. It's not, you know, like the plot is very thin. There's very little dialogue, but you know, it's very fun.
Yeah.
But he's like a retired hitman.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes at the when like he gets called to action, I guess at the start of the first film, he goes back down to his basement and he takes a sledgehammer to the concrete in the basement, and underneath there's like this big safe full of guns and gold and stuff.
Cool. Yeah, stuff that he'd brought over from that the scene in the
previous
Matrix
life. Yeah,
well, yeah, in the Matrix where they had all the shells of all the we're gonna need guns, lots of guns. He's just like, oh, I'll take some of these for later.
I think he says that in John Wick 2, by the way.
Does he really? We're gonna need guns.
Also, Lawrence Fishburne's in it, so yeah.
Mate, get the Wachowskis on the. That's a lawsuit waiting to happen. Unbelievable.
All right, that's how I feel about trivia, because towards the end of my primary school, start of my
what is you feel the same way about trivia?
It's a life I've left behind. It's a life I've left behind.
Oh, I thought you were saying I feel the same way that I do a John Wick film. It's like frothy, easy entertainment, and I don't get too invested in
it. I feel like John Wick does. If someone kills
smashing
my dog, I'll be there confident about who won the 1998 All-Ireland Final. Like, let's go.
Who was it?
I have no idea. The sports is never my category.
No, never for me either.
But I used to do. I used to get sent to represent my school quite a lot when I was like 12, 13, 14.
At inter-school trivia? Is that a thing in Ireland?
Yeah.
Are you kidding? We had like...
Table quiz competitions, yeah.
Wow. I would have gone in for that. We had like normal things like, you know, footy and cricket, but you had inter-school
trivia. We also
trivia.
Had those things. We didn't have cricket. A little too British. But Riley, you and I share, I would say, broadly speaking, a similar sense of humor, right? Like I call it like an 80% overlap.
Yeah, because I lean more heavily into like toilet humor. For sure.
Yeah, I don't know what humor I like that you don't, though.
No, I don't. I think if it's a Venn diagram, it's actually...
My circle's just inside yours.
Mine.
Your circle's just inside mine, yeah.
No, my circle's inside yours. No, your circle's inside mine.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, because there's stuff outside of your circle, yeah.
We had a trivia competition one time when I was in college, and this was when I was in radiology. And I want to know if you think this is funny, because I thought this was very funny.
Right? Well, I'll probably think it's funny. Yeah, go ahead.
Went to a table quiz, and then I'm not sure if you agree. My favorite part of the table quiz, can you guess what it is, Riley?
Is it picking a team name?
It's obviously picking your team name.
Well, I'm interested to see where you go with this, because I've got some opinions when it comes to team names. Go on.
So we were class where we're all radiologists. So we originally put down Beam Team. And I was like,
whatever.
I think we should put down Team Beam Team, because then it looks like we couldn't decide if it was Team Beam or Beam Team. And then the final submitted name was Team Beam Team Team. And I thought that was hilarious. And no one else on the Team Beam Team Team did, but we won the table quiz.
I quite like that. That's very good.
That's Team Beam Team Team.
See, Team Beam is just kind of boring, whatever. Team Beam Team is like, all right, I see what you're going. But like, Team Beam Team Team.
It just ticks it over, right?
It's good. That's good. Okay, so I used to be a trivia show host, right? I used to do them four times a week, right? At the company I used to work for, Quizmasters, I had four shows a week. I think I was like tied for first with how many shows, regular shows.
How
like,
is hosting versus participating? Is hosting a headache?
No, I loved it. Oh, I loved it, Dennis. I loved it so much. And we'll come back to it in a second. But one of the worst parts of the job as a trivia host was, because as a trivia host, like, you know, you can bag people. You can sort of have a go at them a little bit and like tease and, you know,
yeah,
there's a bit
keep
of
the room
forth,
alive,
right?
Yeah.
But generally speaking, you can't really have a go at people's team names, right? And so when there's like these smoke self-satisfied people.
I would have thought that would be the first port of call.
No, because there's a certain type of team. I'll get to it, right? They come on their first night. It's their first time coming to trivia. They sit down and they're like, we've got a team name here that's going to bring the house down. Are you ready? And they've got this smug, satisfied look in their face, this little shit-eating grin. We go, you guys got a team name ready? And they go, we're going to be Trivia Newton John. So, all right, yeah, that's the 50th time I've heard that one. We're going to be Quiz in My Pants. It's just like, but the thing is, with that, right, it's their first time. Like, you can't go up and say, look at these guys. Oh, so original. Completely, bravely unafraid of cliche. It's Quiz on My Pants, everyone. Oh, get into them. Like, you can't do that.
You can't gatekeep it, of course. I understand.
Exactly. So you have to sort of let that go. But no, I mean, you bag them about all the stuff. That's fine. But so a good team name for trivia, right? My favorite kind of team name, and I had teams that were fantastic with this, right, was taking something that happened in current affairs and turning that into a clever team name, usually in a way that was gross, like so tasteless, right? So typically celebrity deaths, right? So I can't remember what one it was, but like when Patrick Swayze died, something in the area of Ghost, it was good. Like it was, Paul Walker no longer, that sort of thing. It was good stuff, right? Like that was, yeah. See, like it works. It's great because you're just reading out someone else's. It's no team beam team, but you're just reading out someone else's joke at that point. And if it's really inappropriate, then it's on them, you know. So, yeah, I don't know. Team, you should give some thought to you because the host is judging you for your choice of team name.
Because I know, spoiler alert for the listeners at home, you went to a trivia thing last night. I want to get to that. But as a host, how do you deal with getting unactually'd? Because that must happen.
Very, very rarely. So Quizmeister's fantastic trivia team. Fantastic. Yeah, I guess
you can bake this in by prepping properly, right? As the person who writes the quiz, I suppose.
Well, no, I didn't write the quiz. That's the thing.
I mean the person who does. That's what I mean.
Oh, sure, yes. But no, they very, very rarely got anything wrong. Very, very rarely. The questions were always... And I want to talk about some of the questions that they do because they're so good, right? There's an art to writing a good trivia question.
What years did you do this, actually? Hang on. This is important.
So I did this between 2010 and 2014.
So that is post smartphone cheating.
Oh yeah, no, people would cheat all the time. It's so easy it's so easy to know when people cheat. I'm not going to tell you. I'm actually not going to tell you how you can tell because then people will stop doing. But like, if you're a host who knows what's up, like you can tell if a team's cheating, and you can very easily.
Would you penalize them?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Mm. Because you come in and I will mark their correct answers wrong, right? And then they come up and dispute it and be like, all right, so did you know that answer? Or did you get off your smartphone? Right. And then they're not going to push the point. And if they do, it's just like, all right, whatever. It's a $50 voucher. Right.
You got it. Yeah.
Like, well done. You cheated your way to victory. Right. And I just, it wouldn't generally happen. And then the thing is, like, there'd always be a team that would like smoke everyone else as well. And whenever they lost, it was such a big deal. So, like, you know that if you're beating that team, like, you're doing something. Anyway, whatever. Don't cheat at trivia. It's the lowest stakes. Right. But I did go to trivia last night. I did. Mm-hmm. I went to a Quizmeister trivia gig. Back again.
Oh, hosted by Quizmeisters.
Yeah, hosted by Quizmeisters. Yeah, and they've got it's so funny. They've still got a lot of the old segments with a lot of the same like intros and stuff. They've been zhuzhed up a little bit, but like, you know, name these ads and all a bunch of stuff in that. It was a nice trip down memory lane. But it was so much fun. It was really, really fun, and it made me think maybe I should go back to this and do it again. They are hiring for hosts again, Dennis, at the moment, so...
Dip your toe back in, dude.
Yeah.
Try it for a month. If you hate it, leave.
Yeah. I'm thinking about getting in touch with them, just being like, hey, I worked here for you 10 years ago. Can I have a job again, please?
I'm an internationally recognized broadcaster now.
Well, that's the thing. I think I did cut my teeth in front of... I've never been nervous in front of crowds, but like just 4 years of entertaining rooms full of strangers... Right, like I definitely think that's helped my broadcasting career for sure. Right,
you have to be two shades away from trying stand up, right? Like it can't be that far.
I don't think I'd be very good at stand up. I have thought about doing a Half-Hour History live show.
That's different. That's a little different. Yeah,
yeah. Anyway, so we get there. We're doing it with Megan's work friends, right? Her boss organized it, headed over, they're all there. It was good. Very relaxed vibe. No one expected, everyone was just, it was just a night at a pub and there happened to be trivia on, so we may as well do it, right? Anyway, Megan starts picking me up. She's like, "Oh, Riley used to be a host. He's like, he knows that he's going to be really
good. He has a history podcast.
Yeah, we're going to win this whole thing, right?
He's very competitive. Yeah, yeah, yeah."
And I'm doing the whole like, no, you know, don't pick me up too much. And then like, you know, the answer sheet gets thrust in front of me. They throw the pen at me like, "All right, you're in charge." And I'm like, "Oh, I don't know about this." And that's secretly, I'll be like, "Oh, I'm loving this. I love that."
Secretly, you hear the sledgehammers hitting the stone in that basement, man. It's those guns are coming out.
Dude, secretly, I was so excited to get stuck in, right? Question number one. 9 points, which is way too many points for a trivia question, but name the nine mascots of Australian football and rugby teams that walk on four legs, right? So a sports question. I've already said I'm no good at sports, right? I knew all of these teams for some reason. I just had them in the back of my head somehow, right? But there were some other people on the team who knew them. That was fine. It was good. It was a good opener to get the conversation going around the team.
It's a sports question, but it's a soft sports question. It's not who had the highest, who's the top goal scorer. Yeah.
It's a very good, and it's a typical Quizmaster's trivia question because it is very accessible. And even though it's worth 9 points, everyone's going to get four or five, right? Mm-hmm. Really, really good. Mm-hmm. Other examples of good questions are questions, it's like, in what century did these things happen?
Yes.
It's questions where you can have a guess. And even if you get it wrong, you're like, "Oh, I was a guess, whatever." But if you get it right and you just guessed, you feel like a genius, right? But if you know, it's a guaranteed point, right? So that's...
I mean, Riley, this is something that's very close to both of our hearts because the way that I started, the way that you and I met was because I invited you to a Magic the Gathering trivia game show that I wrote.
There you go. I didn't even think about that. That is our first interaction, was me appearing on your trivia show.
Trivia game show. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Anyway, so I can't remember which question.
Oh my God, hang on a second.
Go on.
I think Team Beam Team might be directly responsible for how you and I know each other.
Because Team Beam Team led you to start doing...
I wrote the game show on a bunch of like hospital letterhead paper while I was on work placement in college. I'd say it's likely that I had fun at the Team Beam Team trivia night. And I was like, "Oh, what if I did this for Magic?
I could do this." Yeah.
Wow.
Two good things came out of Team Beam Team.
It's also how I met Nikki.
Three good things have come out.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I can't remember which question it was very early on, right? I'm talking like question three, question four. Fantastic question. One of the best trivia questions I've ever come across, right?
Oh, let's go. Okay.
The guy's like, I'm going to give you a bunch of chemical elements, right? You need to use their periodic table, like letter designation to spell the names of countries. Right?
Oh, let's go.
It was so good because it's geography plus science, right? Immediately around the table, arms go up. Nah, no chance. Oh, we're not going to get this. Like there was a guy on the team, I think he was the boyfriend of one of Megan's colleagues, and I think he was quite young. I don't know exactly how old he was, but they started hanging shit on him, being like, "Oh, you know, you're still in high school, you should know this." I don't think he was still in high school, but like that was like and I'm sitting there being like, "I've got it." Like this is an absolute guarantee.
Well, right? I mean, you don't teach. Do you teach? Do you teach periodic table when you teach primary school kids? Do you? I wouldn't assume so.
No, but I just know elements. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, I know. I would say I know most. Like, certainly the top three quarters of the periodic table. Once you get down to human nonsense, it's a little trickier.
It wasn't. Here is the abbreviation. What's the element? It was the other way around. Which is so much easier.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
Well, it is. It is. It isn't. Like, I bet iron was in there.
No, iron wasn't in there. But the first one, I'm going to give you it because this was a softball. There were three. This is a softball. It was so easy, right? The first one.
Hit me.
All right. So, copper, barium.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's Cuba.
Cuba, obviously, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, the next one, right, was... Oh, geez. I guess I should have had this prepared. I didn't think I was going to actually...
You think we'd be doing it live one-on-one?
Yeah, I didn't think I was going to be doing it live here for you. Oh, geez. I can't actually get them off the top of my head now. Was it... sodium, right?
Okay.
Ruthenium.
Okay.
Uranium.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, we stumped him. Well, yeah. So what's sodium? Because sodium's the hard one.
Sodium's Na, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Na. So how many countries begin with Na?
Yeah. Oh, it's in order.
It's in order. Yeah. They gave it to us in order. Yeah. It wasn't. They weren't quite that hard.
I don't know. Nairobi?
No, Nairobi is a capital, man. No, it was Nauru. Yeah. Nauru. right?
Oh, I've written out Nauru.
Yeah, you've written it out.
I didn't know that was a country. So, but like you said, classic Quizmeisters. If I wrote down N-A-R-U, I'd get the point.
It would have worked, yeah. Anyway, so the last one was, and I'm only going to give you two here, right?
Okay.
Uranium, potassium.
Okay.
Doesn't matter about the rest of them.
Is that... Is it R-A-I-N-E?
Yeah.
Okay. Also, I mean, you could argue that just uranium potassium is a country. Done.
Oh, true. Yeah, very true.
Uranium potassium period counts, right?
So what I really enjoyed about this question is that it, you know, there is a level of deduction that you could use just based on the letters that you know, right? Like, you write down copper, barium, and you end up with coba. So you can make the leap to Cuba. But you need to know potassium. You need to know sodium, as in K and Na, to get to, like, to access all the points. I just loved it. I thought it was such a good question. Anyway, the team, the table.
Nauru is not a country.
What?
Nauru is not a country.
Nauru is definitely a country.
It's not. It's either Nauru. Do you mean the one in Japan?
No, Nauru. N-A-U-R-U. Nauru.
Oh, Nauru. I thought it's an N-A-R-U.
Maybe I said it wrong.
Oh, hang on.
Sodium, uranium, ruthenium.
It's a tiny island country in Micronesia, and that uses the Australian dollar. So considering the fact that this is an Australian quiz, it's probably a little more reasonable to know Nauru exists.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's other much less savory reasons that we have a close relationship with Nauru, but we're not getting into that. Anyway.
Okay.
The long story short, we send our so-called illegal immigrants there. The island is basically just an offshore Australian prison. It's awful.
So it's Nauru is to Australia as Australia is to the British Empire.
Yeah. I guess it's an outlaw. Okay. Anyway, so the table pulling their hair out. Wails and lamentations, right? We're never going to get this thing. I'm like, oh, I've got them. And they're like, what? I'm like, oh, I've got all the three, right? And from that point onwards, can I say...
You were king of the team.
Unbelievable, dude. I loved it so much. And I'm sitting there like trying not to be insufferable. One of the questions is, which famous animal, like famous, I don't think they said famous, which animal used to be known as a camelopard, right? And I'm like, well, I know it, but I'm not going to be that guy. So they go around the table, they're all arguing, oh, is it that? And eventually, I didn't know how to do this without just appearing like an insufferable.
Pulling the paper over right to the den and pushing it back.
I didn't want to do that. Like, I didn't want to be, so I was just like, I know what it is if you want to, like, and they're like, oh, yeah, what is it? I'm like, it's a giraffe. And like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I guess that makes sense like that. But I didn't want to be like, idiots. Don't, that was all. But it was, anyway, I somehow threaded the needle because at the end, right, we've all agreed we're going to go back next week. We won. We won. I was hoping you'd ask, but we didn't.
Oh, I was expecting that to be the natural conclusion of your story.
Yeah, we absolutely eviscerated. Like, we were like 7 points ahead of the next team. It was unbelievable. But people loved it. And I think I'm a very valuable member of a trivia team because I can cover a lot of topics that generally don't... Because I'm useless in some areas. I'm sure you're the same. Like, I was going to say, so I'm terrible with movies. I think you'd probably be pretty good with movies.
I'm probably pretty good with movies. Do you remember any of the movie questions?
They do a thing every week. Question 10 is name these films where they reenact scenes from films. You'd probably be fine with that. It was all Channing Tatum films this week. Anyway.
He doesn't have very many of those. Did you do two Magic Mikes? Like, what's the...
No, it was Magic Mike, Dear John.
Yeah, okay.
And another one I've forgotten.
Did they tell you that Channing Tatum comes ahead of time?
Yeah, it was Channing. It was they said all Channing Tatum films, so you get a bit of a clue.
Okay, that helps. Yeah, okay.
But if it's like pop culture, if it's like music, films, sports, I'm pretty useless at anything like that. I just can't do it. But then like politics, geography, history, science, mate, don't worry.
If there's a music round about 55 to 60 year olds wearing skinny jeans singing songs about what it was like when they were 19, they probably crushed that one. That's
me.
Probably pretty good.
Dennis, that statement is completely untrue for at least the next 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah, all right, they're 45 for the most
part. They're 45, okay. They're not 55 just yet. But I had a great time, and I'm going to go back next week, and we're going to absolutely crush it again. It was just so much fun. I loved it. It was really fun being... I know this sounds really awful, but like it was fun being good at something.
This ties into my topic for the week.
Being good at something.
Yeah.
Like,
specifically something, pardon the pun, very trivial.
I'm not good at very much. I'm good at like talking in front of a group of people. But apart from that, like I'm not very
good. I think you downplay that, right? Like, I think you and I are both good at that. And that's something that the vast majority of people struggle with quite a lot.
That's like, true, but it is a very niche skill.
It's not, dude. Almost every single career has an element of that. And some of them have quite a lot of elements of it.
Actually, that is true. I didn't really think about that. Yeah, because like I even remember at university, like when you'd have to give a presentation to the rest of the class or whatever, people would be like shitting themselves with nerves. And I'd be like, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. But like I have an office job. Very regularly, you have to present like slides and presentations to senior staff about things or to your team and stuff. Almost every single job involves some form of this.
Yeah. Yeah. Even when I was a teacher, when we have to give the Star of the Week awards out to the year level, usually like it was supposed to be like each teacher would sort of rotate for the year level, right? And it was always my job to do it. And I was like, oh, I don't mind.
It's yep. Fine. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
All right. It is a much more useful skill. All right. Okay. Yep.
But it was good. Prevalent, yeah. But no, I agree. It's very satisfying to be good at something.
It is. It is useful. Like I imagine you standing up in front of executives or whatever in a boardroom trying to give a presentation. If you're trying to get something across the line, like just having a silver tongue, being able to keep people entertained, like get them in a good mood. It doesn't matter how poker-faced and stern an executive is. Like if you can get them like invested in what you're saying because it's engaging, like that's going to make all the difference, you know?
I mean, you're right. That is one of the things that I would recommend people work on the most. If it's a soft spot of yours, is work on being an orator.
Because you can polish turds right up till they're like diamonds, dude.
Well, it helps you it just makes everything a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Speaking of things we're good at that don't matter very much, right?
Okay. Is that it? I'm being cut off.
Yeah, you were playing the music. Well, is there more you want to talk about on the Trivial Pursuit side of things?
I don't know. I do want to get back to hosting.
You should try it. I think you should try it.
Yeah. I think
it's very low downside. You know exactly more or less what it's going to be like. If you found that you've changed in the intervening 10 years, you don't like doing it anymore, you just stop.
Do you know what's really funny? I went up to the host and I was like, oh, hey, man, good job. I used to do this, right? And he's like,
I love that.
Well, no, because I wasn't doing it to flex or anything. I wanted to know if like my old boss was still working there and that sort of thing, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, you know, I had a great time. Thanks very much. You know, are you used to working for Pete? And he's like, I don't know who Pete is. I'm like, oh, what about Stefan? And he's like, no, I work for, like, my boss is a guy named Jono. I'm like, oh, no. What happened to Pete and Stefan? Like, because I wanted to know if I call them, I'm like, oh, g'day, is Pete there? Like, Pete hasn't worked here for 7 years.
Yeah, not since the accident.
Yeah, exactly. Not since he flew to Antarctica to become an Antarctic explorer or something. But
since he took all the company's money and flew off to Nauru, a country we all are very familiar with.
The answer sheets were still written in the same like typeface, same format, all that sort of stuff, which I really obviously haven't. They've like, oh, we nailed this. We don't need to change that. 10 years later, they're still using the same thing. But it was just so much fun. Like, hosting was so much fun. I got to meet so many people. You have so many chats with everyone. Play your own music the whole time. And usually...
How?
So between questions, right? Like, you put on music.
Oh, as the host. Sorry, I thought every table with me was going like, this cacophony.
No, as a host, it was great. Like, you know, you put music on. It's almost like a little bit of DJing type thing. And, you know, you put music that everyone...
Oh, so were you subjecting those poor people just trying to have fun at trivia to some morose death cab songs?
No. No, it was about 50-50 bangers. And then just like, if you go... I think the playlist is still there. If you go to Spotify, I'm just going to actually check. Mm-hmm. You should listen to this. It's really good. Type in IRP 2012. It's still there. It is still there. It's a playlist. Someone made this playlist, right? The indie rock playlist.
IRP Best of 2012.
Yeah. By Laurinus Timosa.
Yeah.
Such a good playlist. Really high energy. Just absolute, like it's so good. Tame Impala was in there before they were good. Before they got big, right? So much good stuff on there. So it was that. And then interspersed with that, I found that if you just play bangers the whole time, right? When Miss Jackson comes on or when like... Take on
Don't
Me comes
me
on
now,
or whatever,
yeah.
Right? Like that sort of stuff. It doesn't get as big a reaction if it's just that song after song after song. If you play like unfamiliar stuff, it's still the stuff that's good, obviously, but stuff that's a little more unfamiliar. When, you know, the Spice Girls come on, people love it.
You weren't a phony, though. You wouldn't promise Bulls on Parade and then not deliver, surely. I wouldn't imagine you wouldn't be the kind of person to do that.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a throwback to an old episode where, what was it? He called him a phony.
We were in a bar. And, yeah, that's right. We heard Bills on Parade, and Darren asked the bartender, he's like, can you play Bills on Parade, please? Play it again. He's like, yeah, no problem. And we were there for a couple hours, and eventually transpired the guy that Darren spoke to had no control of what music was playing. And Darren, who was a few beers deep at this point, was like, you're a phony. You're a sham. And we had to pull him out of there.
He has to pull him out. A swift extraction.
You're right, though. Some music exists. You're right. It has to be background music. You can't have ice cream for breakfast.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was it. Yeah, no, I think I don't tend to toot my own horn too much, but I think I was a very good trivia host. At one of the nights that I did, when I announced I was leaving, they all made me a card, and all of the regular team signed it, and I've still got it. And the card was made like it was a custom. It wasn't a card they went and bought at the shop. They made it right, and the front was just covered in like quotes and like little running gags and idioms and stuff that I'd always come back to. Like while hosting the shows. It was really thoughtful. I've still got it. It was really
I saw
nice.
A tweet today that reminds me of that and reminded me of you specifically because it was an English teacher where he had this, I don't know if you saw this, where his students compiled, he said that earlier on in one of his lectures, he was like, I just want to feel, as a teacher, I want to feel observed and absorbed, right?
Okay.
And so they're like, so one of the kids was like, okay. And so every time he said something weird or funny or that you could take out of context, they wrote it down in a book. That's and at good. The end of the year, they gave him the book.
That's
and one of them, was these books are loners. So remember the great tale of Greek character Euripides, Euripides books, Eubiades books. And I was like, excellent, excellent gag.
Right. Oh, that's good, man. Oh, geez. Oh, that's a really touching and thoughtful thing. Anyway, Dennis, I'm sick of talking about this. Let's have some ads.
Does it have ads? Do we know?
It has ads.
Okay.
We have ads. Ads are live, Dennis. That paycheck is coming my way. Anyway,
Patreon,
what do you got for us?
I mean, Patreon.com.
Come on. We've got to keep the show moving. Let's go. Come on.
Patreon.com.
Chop. Let's go.
Right, I want to talk to you about.
Got to keep the listeners engaged. We just had ads, which, you know, it's bad for the show. They disengage.
Got to reel them back in. Yeah, okay.
Get them back in. Let's go. No handbrakes, no slowing down.
Right. I want to talk to you about trying very hard at things that don't matter very much, which scans a lot with your topic, to be honest. It feels very similar.
Absolutely. I mean, this is something that I think that is very nourishing for the soul. Like,
it genuinely is.
Taking trivial things seriously, I think, is just it's one of my very favorite things to do.
So Riley, and please hold applause. What we talked about, and I sent you a screenshot of this last night.
Oh, is this what it is? Oh, my goodness. Okay, all right. No, get into it. Let's go. Come on, get at me.
Riley, I have reached platinum rank in League of Legends, which is a goal that I've had for a very long time.
It is. I can confirm this. He's talked about this for months, years,
probably
maybe?
About a year.
Yeah.
Well, since last season when I got to gold too, I was like, oh, let's try to get to platinum. You know, they stagger them in such a way that they make you want to do that. Now, platinum is not the top. There's more above that. There's diamond, master, grandmaster, challenger, right? But
why is challenger higher than grandmaster? I feel like challenger should be the bottom one.
Challenger's the highest one.
Why is challenger sounds like that to me is like
it implies you're challenging something above you, right? I would think.
Yes, exactly. That sounds like you're challenging the tutorial mode or something to me.
Yeah, I don't know why challenger is the highest, but it's called that.
So challenger next anyway. But yeah, how was your journey all the way to the lofty heights of platinum 4?
Platinum 4. Yeah, I know, right? It's a hard game, man. And the other thing is it's a hard game, it takes a lot of time. And it's also not a solo game, right? Like if we talk about climbing, playing like Magic the Gathering, for example, to get like to Mythic on that, for example, you're talking about you have, broadly speaking, I mean, there's obviously variance in the game, but you have control over all of your own actions. And that's not quite true in League of Legends because you're four teammates.
Well, yes. In a game like Magic or in many other games where it's you versus one other person or many other people, but it's you know, other people obviously have an impact on how well you do, but not in the same way as when you're collaborating or cooperating with other people. It's their job to make sure you do a bad job when they're your opponent. But in League, it seems like a lot of people take a lot of pleasure in making sure you do a bad job when they're also
sometimes
on your
team.
Yes.
So like if you play perfectly, you won't win every game. of everything, of any, of anything with any that isn't chess, I suppose.
I guess chess, yeah, is the only thing I could think of.
Yeah. But if you play perfectly in League of Legends, you don't necessarily have to have a positive win rate. You can like that, you know what I mean?
Yep.
You would hope that eventually it pans out, but it depends. I would get into this thing a little bit. So I was playing in ranked flex. So I'm going to talk to you about the two different types of League of Legends, right?
Joy.
Right?
Fantastic.
Solo duo, where you can only play with one or two people. And that's like that's considered, generally speaking, the real hard version of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And there's flex, where you can play with any number other than four. So I played flex because I, unlike most League of Legends players, have friends. So sometimes I would want to play with three people or five people, right? Mm-hmm.
But never four.
You can only play with four. I don't actually know why.
It's so you don't have...
It's matchmaking problems, I think.
Yeah, it's you explained this to me years ago when you tried to get me into League, and I resisted the siren call somehow. I don't know, but...
I think it's more to do with queue times in reality. But anyway, flex also allows you to get matched up and down a little more generously, right? So towards the end, it was, all right, who gets the master two player on their team? Is it my team or their team? Oh, it's their team. All right, we lost that coin flip. Let's get him again.
When we used to play ranked like Apex, you know, I was playing like silver, and then you just get rolled by some like diamond or like, I don't think I ever saw pred players, but like, You get players who's like, why are you in this lobby? What are you doing here? Get out.
Well, the problem with Apex is you have 30 teams. There's 60 people in the lobby, right?
Yeah.
They have to fill that lobby. Like,
yeah, but how many people are playing it? Apex is popular. Anyway, whatever. Yeah. So sometimes the skill discrepancy is just massive. Absolutely, yeah.
So have you ever... So I got, you know, by playing a lot of League, I got to mid-gold. And I was like, oh, I'm going to make a concerted effort and try and tick over this line.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if there's ever been a time where you have felt like that. And it doesn't necessarily have to be like an online game with ranks like that. It can be, I'm getting 151 Pokemon. It can be, I'm going to try speedrunning this. You know what I mean?
Mm. Well, I just want to come back to... Before we move on to that, I do want to answer your question. But I do have a couple of follow-up questions here. About the League of Legends thing. So you said that this has been a goal you've been chasing for a long time. How long were you actively on the grind, I guess?
Actually, I mean, because I play a lot of League of Legends anyway, so that's a little bit blurry, but actively on the grind, probably only like 3 or 4 days.
Oh, really? Okay, I'm just trying to get a time frame in my head. I'm just asking questions, man. I'm just trying to settle down. Come on. What are you doing?
I'm skeptical.
Was your grind, like when you got the, obviously now it's March, recording's in late March. So your grind, did that happen before or after February the 18th?
Oh, substantially after.
So substantially after. Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, that's interesting. So this isn't something you've been sitting on for a month and have told us about later. Okay. It's just that I'm just looking at an article from Dexedo here where it says, massive League of Legends rank changes set to make gaining LP easier.
It's true.
So you were playing on a tiny little baby mode, Dennis.
So the difference here, and I mentioned this to you last night, is so the way ranked League works is you go, like most games, you go like bronze, silver, gold, etc. And you go bronze 4, bronze 3, bronze 2, bronze 1, and you get promoted up to silver, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And every one of those subdivisions has 100 points in it.
Yep.
And before, so about a month ago, you would get roughly 15 points for a win and you'd lose roughly 15 points for a loss. And then when going from bronze 1 to silver 4, you have a little best of 3, and that decides whether you tick up or don't, right? So what they did was they changed it from getting roughly 15 and losing roughly 15 to getting roughly 25 and losing roughly 25.
So they made it easier to get to where
they didn't. It's weird. I understand what you're getting at. They didn't so much make it easier, but they definitely made it faster. Do you know what I mean?
All I'm hearing is that, I mean, look, I written in front of me in black and white here on a, you know, respected gaming website, Dexedo, right? Massive League of Legends rank changes set to make gaining LP easier. Now, the word they've gone for here, Dennis, is easier, not faster. Interesting.
Well,
they've said
to make, well, here's the problem. I've said they've made climbing faster. They've made, they have objectively made getting LP easier. They've also made losing LP easier.
Well, that's not covered in the scope of this headline, Dennis. It sounds like you're nitpicking here, mate, to try to sort of big yourself up here for being good at a video game.
Oh, I'm not trying to big myself up. Like, it's weird. Like, in solo duo, so it's probably less in ranked, but in solo duo, plat 4 puts you in the top, like, 10 or 11% of players.
Yeah.
But which is obviously very high. But the vast majority of League of Legends players don't take the game very seriously, dick around with their friends, and lose all the time. Yeah. So it's tricky. There's anybody you've ever seen on Twitch or YouTube playing League of Legends is assuredly much better than I am.
Yes.
Right? By like a large margin. And it's not like, and this is not like Magic, like where if you play Luis Scott Vargas, some percentage of the time you're going to win, right?
Well, it's also not like Magic, presumably, in that the ranked mode is an absolute farce as well.
Well, in Magic, you can just spend absolute crap tons of time and you will get there.
Well, it's not just that. I don't know if you how deep you want to get into this, but like when I was streaming, right, I experimented one time. You can't do this anymore. But I conceded.
Oh, you slingshot, right?
I conceded 100 matches in a row, right? I just sat there conceding match after match after match after match, right, while I was doing something else. And then started playing. I was in like platinum 1 or 4 or whatever. I was in like mid plat, and I just conceded 100 matches in a row. And I'd been playing against like top, like tier 1 decks, right, for ages, conceded 100 matches in a row, and all of a sudden I'm against, like, you know, the 67 card special, the people
and
who...
you've bottomed out, so you just need to get the streak to get really high rank.
No. But then I just cruised into Mythic playing against terrible players, playing terrible decks.
That's what I mean, because your MMR is super low.
That's right. So there's no point... At Mythic, it's different. Like, when you hit the equivalent of Challenger or whatever, like the top rank, it's different, because then you actually get a numerical ranking, and that's fine. But... on the way up to that, it's meaningless, because you can be in high platinum or low platinum depending on like how good you are, or depending on where the MMR has actually kind of put you. So it's an absolute joke. And it made me never want to play ranked again on Arena, because it was just...
There were some weird exploits you could do with League by like transferring to a server that was smaller. So like transferring to like the server in Turkey or something as opposed to the EUS server, and then tanking your MMR and then transferring it back. I think all that's gone. But there were some... but it was obviously a lot more complex than just conceding 50 games in a row and then slingshotting your way up.
Anyway, look, but in all seriousness, well done. GGs.
Like, thank you. GGs, no re.
GGs, well, are you gonna... I mean, is Diamond on the agenda?
Oh, Diamond's really hard. There is this rolling thing where everyone... and this is very common in a lot of things, where everyone considers everyone below them in their League of Legends rank to be piss poor, garbage players, don't take the game seriously enough. Mm. And everyone above them to be tryhards who take the game way too seriously.
Yes,
and that shifts as you climb or fall, obviously.
No, the only acceptable rank is the one that I'm on right now. Yes, of
and
course.
This only acceptable level of investment, especially, yes, right, is the amount that I'm at right now.
Because otherwise, you know, you're a loser if you take the game too seriously, but you're also a loser if you don't take it seriously enough.
I would be very surprised if Diamond was on the agenda. Diamond would take me, I guess that's what, 25 or so more wins than losses?
Yeah. Yeah. And you're not winning every match, yeah.
No, of course. I haven't played a single game in plat, though. Although I was getting matched against platinum players all the time in gold, so I don't know. Maybe. Maybe we hit it. We get a heater going, and we'll see. But I would not hold that hope.
The only games really applied myself to, one is Tetris. I'm quite good at Tetris. That was mainly because I spent a lot of time playing it in year 9 and 10 maths before I was able to drop maths altogether, because I had it on my TI-84 graphics calculator.
Very nice.
And there was almost like an unofficial school, inter-school leaderboard. But the thing is, you couldn't take screenshots, and this was before smartphones. Like, you couldn't take a picture of the score you got. No, you would have to show everyone else in the class, right?
Everyone remember.
And then they'd have to back you up, because you'd go to the year 11 guy who had the current record, be like, oh, I beat your high score, I got 203,000 or whatever. And they'd be like, bullshit. And then you go, no, Andrew, come and back me up. And then Andrew would say, yeah, he did, I saw it, right? But there was no way to verify stuff. You had to have witnesses. And then if like, and the thing is, you would need to get witnesses that weren't your friends.
Yeah, you have to get them. Like, you couldn't exactly show the teacher, I suppose, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Dr. G, come here. Sorry, but I'm not looking at all this sin cos tan stuff, because I'm literally never going to use it my entire life. But I did get a high score in Tetris. Can you say this so the guy in year 11 knows? I think I was winning there for a while. But again, it was hard to actually verify, and I don't think there wasn't a trophy or anything. But the other game I got really good at was Hades.
Yes, I remember this.
Yeah. I say really good. I was only like, I don't know, I think topped out at like...
there's always, because of the
17,
like
18 heat or something, but like I was decent. I was decent at Hades.
Because of like for example, I consider myself, there was a time when I was really quite good at Guitar Hero and like Rock Band and stuff.
Yeah.
But not actually, you know, compared to a tournament of that.
Yes.
So it's tricky. And that's kind of gone away with the internet and like speedrunning and Twitch and stuff, where
it's just so easy to see people who are really, really good. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's disheartening. But I think setting yourself a goal and achieving it, no matter where it is, and look, it was plat 4 for me in League of Legends. It might be silver 1 for you in League of Legends. It might be whatever in Apex. It might be Mythic in Arena. Setting a goal and achieving it, no matter how trivial it is, it does something to your lizard brain, man. It just does.
Well, and it's something that we've talked about a little bit before. We're getting more serious here on the show. Like, celebrating triumphs, like actually congratulating yourself on your successes, right?
Because it's I'm terrible at that.
We're both terrible at it. Because, I mean, Dennis, I owe you an apology because I just did to you one of the worst things that my brain constantly does to me all the time. When I was like, oh, plat 4, great. And then within 15 seconds, I'm like, all right, so diamond. Like,
yeah.
And this is terrible. I mean, two white guys on a podcast talking about mindsets, here we go. But it's such an awful mindset to be in. Like, sometimes you should just look at what you have and be like, I did this and this is good and it's enough. Like, it's enough to feel happy with or satisfied with, you know?
And I think people think that that's stifling, that you're like, oh, well, if I get do that, I get complacent. No, yeah. Those two ideologies can exist, coexist.
Yeah, you can want more.
You can
more
feel
by,
happy with where you are and want
are.
To do it. Yes, exactly. So do I want to get to diamond? Sure. Am I happy I made it to plat? Yes.
Yeah. GG's, man. GG's. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Have a Listen to This. We do hope you've enjoyed the episode. And hey, if you haven't, doesn't matter. The download numbers show up all the same. So whatever, suckers. But if you did enjoy this show, please tell your friends about it. And look, tell people that aren't your friends. Tell acquaintances and even your enemies. Again, the downloads show up all the same. And if you want to support the show, if you really like the show this much, you can support us on Patreon. Patreon.com/Have a Listen to This. You get access to behind the scenes stuff, early access to episodes, all sorts of things. We are definitely in this for the money, not for the love of the game or anything like that. So head over to Patreon and help us get them rookie numbers up.